Father, we thank you so much for your presence today. Thank you, Lord, that as we open up the Word together, God, the Word speaks to each one of us. I thank you, Lord, that you're working inside each one of our hearts. Lord, that you are preparing the soil of our hearts to receive your Word today. Lord, bless us as we come together, as we gather together around your throne, Lord. We ask that the Word of God speaks to each one of our situations into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are continuing our series on Love the Word of God. And this morning, we are going to go on in 2 Timothy to chapter 4. And the title of this message is Preach the Word. And this is the exhortation that Paul was giving to Timothy. It was actually a solemn charge that he was giving to him to preach the word. He knew that his departure was coming soon. Paul was in prison and things were not going well for him. And he knew that soon he would be executed. And so he was giving his spiritual son, his protege, the student that he had mentored in the doctrine of the apostles, he was giving him a final charge to emphasize the importance of the Word of God. And so let's begin. We are going to begin reading once again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, which is what we studied last week, and I encourage you to go back and listen to that study if you didn't get a chance to. It's on our YouTube channel. And so let's read together in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Scripture has an amazing effect because it is inspired by God, it is God-breathed, and it's profitable to us. And that word profitable in the Greek comes from a word that means to accumulate or benefit, to gain or to profit. The Scripture says that we learn line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. God continues to feed us His Word and continues to build a foundation on the inside of each one of us. So the breath of God is the Scripture. It comes from the Holy Spirit, and it gives to us the words that are taught by the Holy Spirit, and it expresses spiritual truths. Now, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2:13 that these words that the Spirit speaks, they're not understood by man's wisdom. But the Holy Spirit compares spiritual things to spiritual things. And God's Word does a transforming work on the inside of us to renew our mind, to change us so that we are not the same people we used to be. You know, and I believe that when we gather together, when we study God's Word together, it has an effect upon our lives and it changes us and it transforms us, and we begin to be adjusted by the Spirit of the living God so that we see things the way He sees them instead of seeing them the way that we interpret them in our own carnal nature. Amen. Hallelujah. The Scripture says that it is good for reproof. In other words, if we are heading the wrong direction, the Word of God will reproof us. It's good for correction. When we understand the error of our ways, the Word corrects us and it turns us around so we get on the right track once again. And that's God's goal. You know, God's goal is to keep us moving forward in His revelation, in His truth, and in an understanding of who He is. This is all about Him. He is the sovereign God of the universe. It is all about what He desires, not what we desire. Not what we think our personal purpose and destiny is going to be. It is what God says our personal purpose and destiny will be. And that's only if we cooperate with the Word of God and the plan of God, because we can go way off track down a bunny trail somewhere. So God continues to reproof. His Word reproofs us. He corrects us through His Word, and He trains us. So once we're pointed in the right direction, we need training. From the time we were born, we needed natural training, right? Everyone sitting here has gone through potty training. Hallelujah. And in the spirit realm, we're like spiritual kids growing up before the Father. And He continues to train us, to teach us how to do things for ourselves. You know, there was at one time, our parents fed us, or our caregiver, they fed us. But then pretty soon we receive the responsibility and we learn to feed ourselves. And that's so exciting for parents when you don't have to sit there and continually feed the child while you're trying to eat yourself. That's kind of an exciting thing. Well, it is the same thing with the Word of God. There is a time and a season where you are taught and you are fed. And there is always a need to be taught and to be fed of spiritual things, but then you learn yourself how to study the Word and how to feed yourself and how to apply these things into your life. And see, Timothy was the person that Paul had spoken into his life, and there was a doctrine that the apostles had taught from church to church that he wanted to stay pure. And he wanted to remind Timothy, this scripture is God-breathed. This is the inspiration of God. Every single book, not just your favorite passages, but every single word comes from God. And so there was no actual chapter break when we go on into 2 Timothy 4. So it should just read right on that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Ready. Next slide. I charge you. It goes right into this next charge that he gives Timothy. Let's read it together. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. So he was charging Timothy in the very presence of the Lord's courtroom. They were in front of, he's like, I'm charging you. This is a solemn charge. I'm charging you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge of both the living and the dead. So Timothy recognized how serious this is. We are standing before the judge of the universe, and someday he's going to judge the living and he is going to judge the dead. So take this serious, Timothy. Take the word of God serious. What I have taught you, remember the things that I have taught you. And like I shared, that word charge has a legal nuance attached to it. It's like taking an oath in a court of law. And Paul's calling Timothy in front of God's judicial bench and charging him under oath. An oath in front of God to take the task of preaching the word seriously. Now you remember at the beginning of chapter 3, The Apostle Paul talked about how perilous times would come, that it would be very difficult times, trying times, and they were already there. There were false teachers, false prophets that had already infiltrated the church and were deluding and causing the Word of God not to be as effective as it should be, because they were leading people astray. And he was encouraging Timothy, don't forget to keep the Word of God pure that I have given to you, and don't get sidetracked in these perilous times by false teachers and false doctrine and false prophets. Preach the Word of God, because someday, Timothy, you will stand before the judgment seat of God, and everyone that you have mentored and taught will also appear before the judgment seat of God, and all of us will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ as we are called before his bench. Everyone. On how we handled the Word of God and how we applied it to our life. The verb is, that is before, to judge, literally means is about to. And it implies the urgency of the task to Timothy that someday Jesus Christ is coming again. He will appear again. The first time he came as a suffering Savior and he redeemed us from our sins. And the second time he comes, he is coming as sovereign King, and he will put down all the rebellion and he will judge the living and the dead. We are not, as believers, in fear of condemnation from God. But we will stand before the judgment seat of God. 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us, and it's not on the PowerPoint, but it's 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. This means that we should take our life and how we live very serious. Because one day we will stand before the living God and we will give an account. We want to hear the Lord say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord that's been prepared for us. So preaching is an important aspect of the coming together of the church, of the saints of God, to hear the Word of God. Because one day Christ will appear and set up his kingdom, and he will reign over all. That word appear was used to describe an emperor's visit when he was coming to a province or a town. And just before the visit of the emperor, they would clean up the streets, they would clean up the garbage, they would scrub the buildings so that they would appear very clean. And that's the idea here, that Christ the King, the judge, he is coming. So Timothy, I want you to preach the word so that the people of God are clean and they're ready for his return. The word of God washes us. The word of God cleanses us. There is nothing else that will cleanse your soul. You cannot take a what are those called? The sanitizer, hand sanitizer, or the wipes, the Lysol wipes, and cleanse your soul. It does not work. The only thing that works is the Word of God to cleanse our souls, and our souls become filthy. They become clouded up. They become frustrated. They become disgruntled, confused, because we have not allowed the Word of God to wash us. It's the Word of God. It's not the latest prophet's prophecy. It is the Word of God. He told Timothy, convince them, which means to reprove, to convict, to admonish. The word admonish is a word that comes from the Greek, the Greek word is nesthetic. And it means to put into mind. The biblical counseling degree that I have, the PhD, is in nouthetic counseling. It's taking the Word of God and putting it into the mind of the person I'm counseling. And it also it talks about, it's the words we speak. So when we speak God's Word, when we speak God's truth, there's life in the Word. It is spirit and it is life, and it can penetrate between the soul and the spirit and begin to cut away what needs to be cut away, because we carry a whole lot of garbage and junk in our souls. We take it in by what we listen, by what we see, how we prioritize our life, how we choose to live. We decide what goes in. Each one of us are responsible for what we eat every day. And you can reach for the junk food and eat the junk food, or you can reach for something that is nutritious and receive something nutritious. And it is the same way with your time. What are you doing with your spare time? What are you listening to? What are you watching? Are you allowing the Word of God to wash your soul? To be penetrated into your heart. Your heart has soil, and God begins to plant the seed of His Word in the soil of your heart. And we all know that when we plant a seed, we don't instantly reap a crop. Is that right? That seed has to be nourished, and it grows and it's watered. God waters us with His Word, and He continues to work on our heart and what He has planted in it so that it springs forth. It springs forth. The truth of God's Word. It becomes evident in your life. You have the fruit of the Spirit. People see the fruit of the Spirit. They see your love, your joy, your patience. They see it. And they want what you have. When they see that what you have is living, it's alive. And see, it can only come from the Word of God being planted into our lives. So the Holy Spirit's task is to convict us, to reprove us. The Holy Spirit was sent into the world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And He does that largely by Spirit-filled biblical preaching and teaching. To rebuke is to forbid, to charge, to rebuke. And this is the moral aspect of preaching, when it says you are sinning against God and you need to repent. Feel-good preaching is not going to get you anywhere. You can go to church and get emotionally all worked up. You love this, you love that. The preaching can get you all hyped up. But when you walk out the door, you find out that you need to go back next Sunday to get the same fix that you had that Sunday, because it has not penetrated into your spirit man. And I'm not saying that preaching emotionally or our music that causes our emotions to rise is not effective, because it can be if the word is solid in it. But we have so many musicians and churches now that have gone way off into New Age theories. And you're singing their songs. You could be on the radio. And you don't even realize what spirit you're connecting to. The more God has just started showing to me so much that is a mix. Do you remember God shared with me several years ago? I taught on God hates the mix. And the churches have mixed so much of the occults, and along with the spirituality of God, that people are confused. They are confused. It's a confusing spirit. It confuses genders. You don't know if you're a man or a woman, because all of a sudden you think a man has to be so feminine. No, God made you a man. You should be a man. Men should be men. We don't want men to be like women. Hello. We like strong, burly men. Hello. A man with strength. A man who's committed to God, who knows who he is. So there is so much going on. I shared with you last week about the Barna Report. I just want to give you some facts from the Barna Report. I sent this to our elders because this is really shocking. This is the conclusion of the research that was done, and this is an example of Christian beliefs that differ from biblical teaching. And this percentage is the percentage of the denomination that rejects this truth. Okay, they're rejecting this truth. The biblical teaching that people are not basically good, we are sinners, is rejected. 75% of evangelicals, 76% of Pentecostals, 81% of mainline denominations, and 84% of Catholics reject that biblical truth. That is a very high percentage. It's like saying, oh, he has such a good heart, when the scripture says the heart above all things is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Another one, which faith you embrace matters as much or more than simply having some faith. Biblical truth, which faith you embrace matters. 62% reject that truth of evangelicals, 66% of Pentecostals, 73% of mainstream media, and 74% of Catholics. The Holy Spirit is not just a symbol of God's power, presence, or purity, but is a real influential being. That's the truth. 58% of evangelicals reject it, 66% of Pentecostals, 73% of mainline fundamental churches, and 84% of Catholics reject that the Holy Spirit is not just a symbol of God's power, you know, the dove. But he is real, and he is alive, and he is influential in our lives today. And they've pushed that aside. This is shocking from where America was 10 years ago. This is what I'm talking about. within the church, if we're not teaching the Word of God, then the Word of God loses effect. It's like Paul warned Timothy, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They're denying the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit to change our lives and to rearrange us to be who God has made us to be. Because we have a doctrine that focuses in on people and all about people rather than focusing in on God and how He wants His people to become. It's good to want to become a good person, but we're not going to become a good person if God does not do a work in us to make us good. We cannot make ourselves good. We can have lots of self-help programs, but that is not going to change us because you cannot help yourself. We need God's help, and we need one another. And that is something that people have gotten away from in America. They're very independent. I'm going to do it myself. I'm not going to ask for help, and I'm not going to be accountable to anyone. Have you heard that rebellion? Many times. Often it comes from our own thoughts. God did not design us that way. He designed for the body of Christ to be connected, to work together, to get through the difficulties of life, not to run away from the house of God, but to run to the house of God. Lord, help us. There are several things. If you want this article, let me know and I will send it to you. Unbelievable where our nation has gone. And it is because of the church. The church should take responsibility of that. As goes the church, so goes the world. And because the church is more interested in being like the world and presenting programs like the world, we have gotten away from the pure Word of God. Jesus, help us. The third thing the Word of God does for us is it exhorts. It exhorts. It is to counsel, to encourage, to strengthen, to comfort, to receive consolation, to be comforted. The Word of God comforts us. When you feel like you cannot be comforted, read the Word. There are so many Bible apps that will read to you. I love to be read to. And I'll put my Word on and just listen to my Word. Most of us have Bluetooth in the car. There is no excuse for not listening to the Word of God. The Scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. In this day and age, we have no excuse when we stand before God to not have knowledge of His Word and His will. Let's go on. What's our next point? We're going to have a part two of this. I'm sure I'm only going to get halfway through this message. Before I read that, I do want to say that Paul told Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. The idea is that you live your message. And you're ready to teach, you're ready to exhort, you're ready to convince, you're ready to share with someone the Word of God. It's not that you're just gonna do it one day. You're not a one-day Christian. Paul's talking to Timothy, who is a preacher that carries a huge responsibility when you stand in front of a church. The Scripture says you're judged double. You're judged by the people in front of you and by God as you teach the Word. But everyone is called to share the word of God. We should be able to give a reason of the hope that is within us to anyone that asks us, whether it's convenient or not. You may not have studied for a half hour to talk, to answer their question, but you can answer their question. Because if you have studied the word, the answer is on the inside of you. God will pull it out. And it's like, I know several of you have been surprised by what came out of your mouth when you began to teach, when you began to answer the question. The Holy Spirit, if the word's in you. Now, this just isn't going to happen because you want it to. All right? The scripture says to study to show yourself approved of God, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed but can rightly divide the word of God. The word of God becomes life. The word of God is in you. And the word of God will speak. Hallelujah. And we should never be ashamed of the word of God. We shouldn't be ashamed to pull our Bible out. Or say, I know a scripture that could really help you. Give me a second. Let me look it up. It's so convenient to have Bibles on your phone, right? And you can find that scripture. Because when you read the word of God over a person, you're reading spirit, you're reading life. You can tell them your story, you can talk and talk. But you know what? The word of God speaks. It's eternal. It is what changes people. So let's go on. Let's read this verse. And we're going to wrap up soon and just pick this up next Sunday. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. Let's read it together. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So Paul warns Timothy that this time is coming, that people will want to have their ears tickled. And they'll find teachers that they want to hear, that are saying what they want them to say, not what they need to hear. And he's talking to Timothy because he's letting Timothy know that some people will walk away because he's teaching the truth. Because they don't want to hear it. They'll go someplace else to the false prophet or the false teacher down the road to get their ears tickled to meet their need. The Apostle Paul talked over and over about sound doctrine. Sound in the Greek means healthy. We get our word hygienic from the Greek word that means sound. He said they will not endure sound doctrine. Healthy Christian living. We want to live the way we want to live. Redefining marriage. Because that's the way we want to live. So they'll look for teachers who will come into agreement with them to have their ears tickled. They're not able to endure sound, healthy doctrine. It's kind of like eating health food, and I'm back on this little tangent again. It's like, why didn't God make spinach and kale bad for you and ice cream good for you? It's like enduring the craving that you have for the junk food in exchange for what is good for you. Come on, how many here has ever suffered with me? You know what I'm talking about. And it's the same way with the teaching and preaching of God's word. It isn't necessarily what you wanted to hear because you've just been rebuked, you've just been corrected, and you chose to come to church that day to get corrected and rebuked. But you know what? You learn to endure that because you know it is for your good. I remember many, many times a preacher stepping on my toes. Come on, you guys know. You remember those times. And you can either walk away and go find another preacher who's going to preach it the way you like it, or you can take your medicine. You can eat the healthy word of God and allow it to change you. You see, there's a danger when we reject the truth, because then there is the possibility that we will turn away from the truth to fables. Fables are the religious ideas of men as opposed to God's revelation in His Word. And the propensity of the human heart is sinful. Have you noticed that? It is sinful. And it has a tendency, we have a tendency to reject God's truth for the moment and embrace what feels good. You can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But there's a judgment day coming. So we have to choose. We have to choose. One more scripture. The fifth scripture. And this is Paul says to Timothy, but you, tell your neighbor, but you. Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Be watchful. Be on alert. Don't get pulled in by false teaching. That word actually means be sober. You know, people can get intoxicated on false doctrine. And they'll drink the Kool-Aid. We have seen it, haven't we, in our lifetimes. So we're supposed to keep our head on straight and continue preaching the truth. This is what Timothy is hearing from Paul. Be watchful. And then he says, endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. If people walk away because you've taught the truth, or you corrected them for something, then let them walk. It's their choice. The Word of God cuts away. Always to help us. Always to grow us. Always to improve us. To give us those benefits God wants to give to us. But we have to be willing. It hurts when your flesh is cut. I had a friend that I was counseling, and she said, I feel like God has left me on the surgical table cut wide open, and I don't know what to do. She was in so much pain. But God comes. For a moment, you have to endure that affliction. Anyone that's gone through surgery, Elder Jim just went through surgery. It's painful. The healing process, the surgery, you wake up and it's like, oh my word, what did I get myself into? Have you ever had that experience waking up from surgery? Whoa! The adjustment, The surgical procedure is to help you, but that does not mean it's going to be pain-free. And when God does his surgery on us, sometimes it's very, very painful. And our soul is crying out. The result of the surgeries are wonderful. When you're healed, restored, your body gets back to normal, actually improved, we pray. The original pain is gone. The healing has come. And this is what happens when God heals our soul. The third thing he said is do the work of an evangelist. He said don't get sidetracked by critics that criticize the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel message is a simple message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's a simple message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will have salvation. He's the giver of eternal life. Simple message. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. That he died and he rose again. Simple. God did not make it complicated, because he's not willing that anyone should perish, and every one of us needs to be able to share the gospel message when we have the opportunity. Until people are born again by the Spirit of God, they don't understand everything else you're talking about. They need Jesus. Keep it simple. They need Jesus. If they've received Jesus, then on you go, sharing according to what they can handle. Don't overload people. We're a well-taught church. Don't overload people. Teach them. People are spoon-fed, remember? Babies are spoon-fed. The Apostle Paul talks about the babies that drink milk. Learn how to serve milk to those that you lead to Jesus Christ. Don't neglect the work of the evangelist. It is so important in the time that we're living in. And then Paul finishes up and says, fulfill your ministry. Timothy, don't bail out of your responsibility and your task. You have been assigned to fulfill your ministry. And I'm getting ready to leave this earth. I know my execution is near. I know they're going to cut my head off. But you, Timothy, I've entrusted with the doctrines of the apostle, the living word of God. It's God-breathed. Don't deviate from what you've been taught. Fulfill your call as a preacher of God's truth. Preach the word. And Paul was saying, follow me in fighting the good fight of faith. He watched the Apostle Paul over and over fight the good fight of faith. He was in prison. He was beaten. None of us have suffered to the point that the Apostle Paul suffered for the sake of the gospel. And while we can, reach out and do the work of an evangelist. It is the responsibility of every member of the body of Christ to introduce someone to Jesus, to lead them to Jesus. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the teaching of the word today. We thank you, Lord, for all the seed that has been sown into our hearts. We ask you, Lord, that you continue to water this seed. Continue, Lord, to give us a hunger, a love for your word. Lord, that we desire it more than anything else, Lord. That it means more to us than our lives. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Forgive us for going astray. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we discounted or put it to the side for something else. Forgive us, Lord. And align us today, Lord. Give us the desire, give us the strength, Lord, to do what we know you are asking us to do. And I pray, Father, for every person listening to this message today, Lord God, that you convict their hearts and you charge them like Paul charged Timothy to preach the word, because one day we will stand before your judgment seat and give an account for how we lived our lives here in this earth. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, give the Lord a praise. Take a deep breath. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love your word.